The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Chapter 1. Good Days and Bad Days. Tom! No answer. Tom! No answer. Where is that boy? You, Tom! No answer. The old lady took off her glasses. She looked around the room. Then she looked under the bed. But she only found the cat. Then she heard a noise behind her. She turned around and opened the cupboard door. There was Tom. Here you are. What are you doing in there, Tom? What's that around your mouth, boy?
I don't know, Aunt Polly.
Well, I do. It's jam, isn't it? You naughty boy. What am I going to do with you? Where's my stick?
Look behind you, Aunt, said Tom quickly. She looked behind her. Tom ran out of the door and jumped over the fence. He was free.
Tom's aunt laughed. He's done that to me 1,000 times. I still haven't learned.
Grr, I'll have him when he comes home.
He's my poor dead sister's boy. I want to make him a good boy. I feel bad if I hit him, and bad if I don't. But I have to punish him. So, what can I do with him? I can make him work. He can work for me on Saturday. It was a hot afternoon. Tom didn't want to go back to school. So, he decided to go swimming in the river. When he got home, Aunt Polly was waiting for him.
Was it very hot in school this afternoon, Tom? She said.
Yes, Aunt, it was very hot.
But you didn't go to school. You went swimming in the river, said Sid, Tom's brother.
Look, your shirt's wet.
Why did you do that, Sid? Now I'll get into trouble.
I'll have you for that, Sid, said Tom. Then before Aunt Polly could catch him, he ran out of the house. Aunt Polly was now sure about Tom's punishment.
No free time for Tom on Saturday. He can work for me.
Tom was free again. He went to find his friends. On his way down the street, he met a stranger. The boy was a little bit taller than Tom. The boy was wearing city clothes. He was wearing shoes. But it wasn't Sunday. The boy looked at Tom. Tom's clothes were old. Tom wasn't wearing any shoes. The boy didn't like Tom. Tom didn't like the boy.
What's your name? Said Tom.
I'm not telling you, the stranger answered.
Then I'll fight you, said Tom.
And I'll fight you too, but I'll win. Then the stranger jumped on Tom, and they started fighting. Soon, Tom was sitting on the boy.
Say, enough, and tell me your name, said Tom.
No.
Say, enough. And tell me your name, said Tom again.
All right. My name's Alfred Temple. Now, enough, said the boy.
Tom stood up. Alfred, the stranger, escaped down the street.
Tom got home quite late that night. He quietly climbed through the window. He didn't want to get into more trouble. But Aunt Polly was waiting for him.
Tom, look at your clothes. What did you do to them? They're all dirty. You've torn your shirt. And look at your face. What am I going to do with you?
Well, you can paint my fence on Saturday. That's what you can do. Saturday arrived. It was a beautiful day. Tom went out into the garden. He had a bucket of white paint and a brush. He looked at the fence. It was very long. He didn't want to work. He wanted to go swimming. He wanted to have fun with his friends. He put his brush into the paint and started work.
I hope my friends don't see me, he thought. They'll laugh at me.
Then, Tom had an idea. And it was a wonderful idea. Tom's friend, Ben Rogers, came along the road. Tom pretended not to see him. Tom continued painting.
Then, Ben saw Tom. "Hey," he said, "what are you doing? Why are you working on a Saturday? Don't you want to come swimming?" "Work? Oh, this isn't work," said Tom. "I've never painted a fence before. I like it. It's not work. It's fun." Ben watched Tom. Tom looked very happy. Ben thought for a moment. Then he said, "Can I paint a bit of fence, Tom?" "Please? I'll give you my half of my apple." Tom continued to paint. Then Ben said, "I'll give you all of my apple." Tom agreed. He gave Ben the brush and the bucket of paint. Ben started painting. Tom sat under a tree and ate his apple. A little while later, some more of Tom's friends came along the road. All of them wanted to paint the fence. At the end of the morning, Tom had a lot of treasure. 4 wonderful marbles, some blue glass, a part of a knife, a key, a fish hook, and half a piece of the teacher's chalk. He was rich. Tom went to find Aunt Polly. "Can I go and have fun now, Aunt?" "What do you mean? You have to finish painting the fence before you can go." "But I finished, Aunt. Can I go and have fun?" "Finished? But that's impossible. Show me." Aunt Polly went outside. She saw the fence. It was beautiful. She couldn't believe it. "Well, yes, Tom, that's a good job. You can go and play now." Tom ran out into the street. He was free. It was time for the usual Saturday fight. Tom was the leader of his gang. Tom's best friend, Joe Harper, was the leader in another gang. It was time to fight. The fight was wonderful. At the end, the two leaders counted all the dead. They counted all the prisoners. What a good fight! What a good day! "See you all next Saturday," everyone said. Everyone went home. Tom was smiling. On the way home, he walked past Jeff Thatcher's house. There was a new girl in the garden. She was pretty. In fact, Tom thought she was very pretty. She was an angel. She was even prettier than Amy Lawrence. Tom forgot all about Amy Lawrence. Tom pretended not to see this angel. He walked up and down in front of her garden. He walked like a man. He acted like a man. He wanted this beautiful girl to see him. He showed off as much as he could. After a while, she threw a flower. Then she ran inside her house. The flower was for Tom. He looked around. No one saw him. He picked up the flower and put it in his pocket. It was wonderful. He walked home. He was smiling from ear to ear. Who was she? Who was this angel? When he got home, Sid was in the garden. Tom picked up a stone. He threw it at Sid. "Yes." "Ouch," said Sid. "Why did you do that?" "You always want me to be in trouble." "It's not fair," said Tom. At dinner time, Sid dropped a plate on the floor. "Tom did that," said Sid. Aunt Polly picked up her stick. She hit Tom. "Hey, Aunt Polly, that's not fair. Don't hit me. It was Sid, not me." Aunt Polly looked surprised. Then she said, "Well, you probably did something bad today anyway. You're always getting into trouble." Tom went outside. He was angry and miserable. It wasn't fair. He went to find his angel. Outside her house, he threw some stones at a window. After a while, someone opened it. Tom looked up, but he wasn't quick enough. Someone threw a bucket of water. It went all over him. What a horrible day. It really isn't fair. Life isn't fair, thought Tom. He went home, took off his wet clothes, and went to bed. Chapter 2. Church on Sunday, School on Monday. It was Sunday morning, time for Sunday school and church. Aunt Polly tested Tom on his Bible lesson. Tom couldn't remember any of it. Mary, Tom's cousin, helped him. She was kind and patient, so in the end, Tom learned most of it. Then he put on his best clothes and his shoes. He hated wearing shoes. It was too hot to wear shoes. Then he went off to Sunday school. On the way, Tom met his friend Bill. "Hey, Bill, have you got a yellow ticket?" "Yes, I have. I'll buy it from you." "What do you want?" "I'll give you some marbles and a fishing pole." "Okay." Then Tom bought some tickets from some of his other friends. He got 3 red tickets, another yellow one, and quite a few blue ones. If you had enough tickets, you could get a prize from the Sunday school teacher. To get a blue ticket, you had to remember 2 pieces from the Bible. 10 blue tickets were the same as 1 red one. 10 red tickets were the same as 1 yellow one. For 10 yellow tickets, there was a prize. But to win the prize, you had to learn 2,000 pieces from the Bible. Only the older students ever won the prize. The prize, of course, was a new Bible. "Now, everyone, I want you to sit up straight, face me and listen carefully," said Mr. Walters, the teacher. It was the same every Sunday. It was very boring. Tom and his friends didn't listen. They played and whispered to each other. While the teacher was talking, some visitors came into the church. Everyone started whispering some more. It was unusual to have visitors in town. They were with Jeff Thatcher's father. One was a tall, important-looking man. Then there was a woman and a young girl. Mr. Walters showed them the best seats. Tom couldn't believe it. The little girl was his angel. Mr. Walters introduced the visitors to the Sunday school pupils. The tall man was a judge, a very important person. He came from Constantinople. That was 12 miles away. His name was Judge Thatcher. Suddenly, all the pupils became very quiet and very good. Then Tom stood up. He slowly walked up to the front of the church. Everyone was watching him. He gave Mr. Walters 9 yellow tickets, 9 red ones, and 10 blue ones. Mr. Walters was very, very surprised. But he was also very pleased. He wanted to show off to Judge Thatcher. He wanted Judge Thatcher to see his wonderful pupils. Mr. Walters gave Tom his prize, a new Bible. Judge Thatcher was looking, but more importantly, so was his daughter, Tom's angel, Becky Thatcher. Tom felt wonderful. Then Judge Thatcher spoke to him. "Congratulations, Thomas. You've worked very hard. You know a lot about the Bible. You've learned 2,000 pieces from it. Well done. So, Thomas, I want to ask you a question." "Yes, Judge. What is it?" said Tom quietly. "What's your favorite story in the Bible? Can you tell me?" Tom looked at the floor. He didn't say anything. He didn't know what to say. "What is my favorite Bible story?" he thought. "I don't know. What can I say to the judge?" "The poor boy's shy," said Mrs. Thatcher. "I know. You'll tell me, Thomas. So your favorite Bible story is Romeo and Juliet," said Tom loudly. It was Monday morning, and Tom was miserable. Another week of school. On his way to school, Tom met Huckleberry Finn. Huckleberry didn't have to go to school. He didn't have to go to church. His father was lazy and didn't work. People in the town didn't like Huckleberry's father. Huckleberry was very poor. But all the boys in the town liked Huckleberry. They wanted to be like him. Hello, Huck. What have you got there? Said Tom.
An old shoe. I'm going to bury it in the graveyard tonight.
I have to go at midnight, and I have to say a prayer. I've got a bad toe. Old Mrs. Hopkins says that'll make my toe better. Can I come too?
Of course you can, if you want to.
I'll come to your house tonight. I'll make a noise like a cat outside your window. Then we can go together.
Tom was late for school. The teacher punished him. He told him to sit with the girls. Tom was really pleased. The only free seat was next to his angel, Becky Thatcher. At first, she pretended not to look at him. Then he put an apple next to her.
Take it. I've got more, he whispered.
Then he drew a picture for her. She liked it.
Can you teach me to draw? She whispered back to him.
Of course, said Tom. He was delighted.
That night, about 11:30, Tom heard a cat outside his bedroom window.
Huck, he thought.
He got out of bed very quietly. He climbed out of the window.
Meow, meow, he called.
Huck answered.
Meow, meow.
The boys quietly went to the graveyard.
Have you got the shoe? Whispered Tom.
Yes, here it is, said Huck. Now let's start digging.
The boys began to dig.
Then suddenly, Tom heard something.
Shh! I think there's someone here, he said.
Yes, I can hear voices. Quick, let's hide.
Tom and Huck hid behind a tree. They were very quiet. In the dark, they could see three men, Dr. Robinson, Muff Potter, and Injun Joe. At first, Muff Potter and Injun Joe were digging, but then they stopped. Dr. Robinson was angry.
I paid you a lot of money to do this job for me. I need this man's body for my medical research. Do the job.
No. We want more money. You didn't give us enough.
Give us more money, said Injun Joe.
The doctor picked up a big stick and tried to hit Injun Joe. The doctor hit Muff Potter by mistake, and Potter fell down.
Injun Joe quickly took Muff Potter's knife. He ran towards the doctor. The next minute, the doctor was dead.
Injun Joe looked in the doctor's pockets. He took all the doctor's money and his gold watch. Potter was still lying on the ground. Then, Joe put the knife in Potter's hand. A short time later, Potter woke up.
What happened? He said.
You killed the doctor, said Injun Joe. That's what happened. You're a murderer.
Potter was very confused. But I don't remember anything. My head hurts.
Oh, no! What have I done?
Huck and Tom were really scared. They ran away as fast as possible. They ran until they couldn't run anymore. Then they made a promise. They promised never to tell anyone. The following day, everyone was talking about it.
Have you heard the news? Muff Potter killed the doctor last night. They found Potter's knife next to the body. Injun Joe saw it all. He says Muff Potter's a murderer.
The news went around the village very quickly. Soon the sheriff arrived with Muff Potter. Potter looked very scared. There were lots of people there. Everyone was shouting at him. The sheriff took Muff Potter to jail. Tom and Huck didn't know what to do. For the next few nights, Tom had horrible dreams. Dreams about blood and murder. Tom was worried. He was worried about Muff Potter. He knew that Injun Joe was the real murderer. He was too scared to tell anyone. Huck was scared, too. The boys felt bad about Muff. Every day, they went to the jail. They gave Muff things to eat and drink. Tom and Huck wanted to help him.
Chapter 3 Pirates in a Storm.
Where is Becky Thatcher? Tom thought. She wasn't in school yesterday or the day before. She's not in school today. Where is she? During recess, he heard some of the girls talking. Becky's sick. I went to see her yesterday, said Amy Lawrence. After school, Tom walked past Becky's house. The curtains were closed. Everything was quiet. He was really miserable. I hope she gets better soon. I don't want her to die. I love her. At home, Tom was very quiet at dinner. Aunt Polly was worried about him. Are you sick, Tom? She asked. Tom didn't answer. He just looked sad. I hope Becky gets better, he thought. Every day in school, Tom waited outside. He looked for Becky. All the girls came, but Becky didn't. Tom was miserable. Then one day, Tom was waiting as usual. There she was. The last girl to come was Becky. Tom was delighted. He showed off as much as possible. He did everything he could. He ran, he jumped, he climbed a tree. Look at me, Becky! Look at me! Tom thought. But Becky didn't look at him. She pretended he wasn't there. Some boys really show off. I think they're very stupid, she said to one of her friends. Tom felt horrible. He was miserable. Nobody loves me, he said to himself. I'm never coming back to school again. I'm going to run away. A little later, he met his best friend, Joe. Joe wanted to run away, too. My mother punished me, but it wasn't fair. She doesn't love me. Nobody loves me, said Joe. Then let's run away together, said Tom. We can be pirates. We can capture a boat. We'll go to Jackson's Island. We'll make a camp near the forest. Let's meet at midnight. Bring some food. Bring your fishing pole. Yes, and let's get Huck. He can come too. Tom and Joe went to find Huck. We're going to be pirates. We're going to capture a boat. We're going to make a pirate camp on Jackson's Island. Do you want to come too? Huck agreed. He liked adventure too. The pirates met at midnight. It was their favorite time of night. Tom had some ham. Joe had some cheese and bread. They went down to the river. There was Huck, waiting for them. In the river, there was a small old fishing boat. The pirates captured it and went off to Jackson's Island. There, they made a pirate camp. They made a fire and told pirate stories. Then, finally, they all went to sleep. The boys woke up late the following morning. They went swimming, and then they caught some fish. They cooked the fish over the fire. They had a wonderful lunch. In the afternoon, Tom heard a noise in the distance. It was the sound of a large gun. That means somebody's lost in the water, said Tom. You hear the gun when someone gets lost in the river. Then they saw a ferry boat. There were a lot of townspeople on the ferry boat. They were looking in the water. Perhaps it's Injun Joe, said Huck. Perhaps he's lost in the water. I hope so, said Tom. I don't think it's Injun Joe, said Joe. I think they're looking for us. The boys thought this was wonderful. They were lost, and the whole town was looking for them. Now they're all sorry. Now their hearts are breaking. We're pirates lost at sea, they said. The three lost pirates spent the afternoon talking about the townspeople. They guessed what people were saying. They were famous. They were heroes. The boys were delighted. In the evening, they caught some fish and cooked it on the fire. They ate their supper quietly. They were all thinking. They were thinking about home. They began to feel sorry. Then Joe said, "What do you think? Can we go home?" "We're pirates. Of course we can't go home," said Tom. Huck agreed. But secretly, Tom and Huck agreed with Joe. They missed home, too. Perhaps Aunt Polly is sad, thought Tom. I need to find out. I'll find out tonight. He waited until Joe and Huck were asleep. Then he quietly left the camp. He got to the river. He walked as far as possible. Then he started swimming. When he got to the town, he went back to his house. He looked through the window. Aunt Polly was there. So was Joe's mother. They were crying. They were talking about the boys. They were talking about the funeral. Tom was a good boy, really, said Aunt Polly. He did some bad things, but all boys sometimes do bad things. He had a kind heart. I know. My Joe was the same, said Mrs. Harper. They were good boys. Yes, Saturday will be a horrible day, said Aunt Polly. And they both started crying again. Tom was sorry for them. I must tell the others, he thought. We all need to come home, but we need to have a plan. I'll go back to the camp. I'll tell the boys. The next day, the boys swam and fished as usual. Joe was quiet and sad. He wanted to go home. Huck was sad, too. He missed his life in the town. Tom told them to wait. We need to make a plan. I've got an idea, but we need to wait. That night, Joe woke up at midnight. Huck, Tom, I think there's a storm coming. Joe was right. The wind was getting stronger and stronger. The boys ran out of their tent. Come on, you two. It's not safe in here, said Tom. Yes, we need to find somewhere safe. Somewhere away from the rain, said Huck. The boys ran into the forest. They went to hide under some trees. The storm was terrible. The wind was very strong. It was raining and raining. The boys couldn't see anything. The noise of the storm was very loud. They couldn't hear each other. They were cold and very scared. When the storm stopped, the boys went back to their camp. There was nothing there. We nearly died here, said Joe. Look, there's nothing here. The tent has gone. Everything has gone. I think it's time to go home. Come on, Tom. Huck agrees with me. Tell us your plan, and then we can go home. We need to wait, boys, said Tom. We need to wait until Saturday. 2 nights ago, I went back to town. I was worried about Aunt Polly. I saw Aunt Polly and Joe's mother. They were talking about our funeral. Then Tom told his friends about his secret plan. Everyone agreed. It was a really good idea. Chapter 4. Tom and Becky. It was Saturday. It was a beautiful day, but everyone in the town was miserable. It was the day of the funeral. Everyone went to the church. Becky Thatcher was there. She was crying. Why was I so horrible to Tom? Why did I pretend he wasn't there? I loved him, and now he's gone. I'll never forget you, Tom. One by one, people from the town got up to speak. They all said kind things about the boys. Everyone was sorry. Then, in the middle of the funeral, the church door opened. It opened very, very slowly. Everyone at the back of the church started whispering. Everyone stood up and looked at the door. First, Tom came in. Then came Joe. Finally, Huck walked into the church. Aunt Polly ran to Tom. She hugged him and kissed him. Becky Thatcher stopped crying. Mrs. Harper, Joe's mother, hugged and kissed all three boys. Judge Thatcher and his wife smiled. Even the Sunday school teacher smiled. Everyone was delighted. So that was Tom's secret plan. For the pirates to go to their own funerals. Now they weren't in trouble. Everyone was too happy to see them. Tom, Joe, and Huck were heroes. Everyone in school wanted to talk to them. Everyone wanted to hear about their adventure. They told everyone about fishing and swimming. They told everyone about the terrible storm. They were famous. Becky Thatcher now wanted Tom to look at her. Now she wanted Tom to talk to her. She was sorry, but Tom pretended she wasn't there. He talked to Amy Lawrence. Becky was sad and angry. So, during recess, she talked to Alfred Temple. Poor Alfred. Becky only talked to Alfred because she wanted Tom to feel bad. Tom pretended he didn't care. But secretly, he felt bad too. Alfred was really happy. Becky Thatcher was his girl now. At lunchtime, Tom went home. He didn't want to see Alfred and Becky together. Becky was soon bored with Alfred. Tom wasn't there to see her. She couldn't make Tom feel bad. Poor Alfred Temple. Becky left Alfred, and she went away to talk to her friends. Now Alfred was hurt and angry. I hope Tom gets into big trouble. It's not fair. The teacher, Mr. Dobbins, didn't want to be a teacher. He wanted to be a doctor. But he came from a poor family. He didn't have enough money to go to college. Mr. Dobbins had a beautiful big book in his desk. He loved that book. Every day when his pupils were reading, he took his book out of his desk. He studied it hard. When it was time to go, he put the book back. He always took the key away. Everyone had lots of ideas about the book, but really, no one knew what was in it. That afternoon, Becky went back into the schoolroom. She walked past the desk. The key was there. This was her chance. She opened the desk and looked at the book. Professor Someone's Anatomy. The name didn't help. She turned some more pages. Suddenly, behind her, she heard a noise. "What are you doing there, Becky?" said Tom. Becky jumped. "Oh, Tom, why did you come in so quietly? Now look, I've torn Mr. Dobbins' book. I'll be in big trouble." Tom was pleased. Becky was being horrible to him. He wanted her to be in trouble. Everyone came back into the schoolroom. Mr. Dobbins came in. Everyone got out their books. They all started reading. Mr. Dobbins opened his desk. Then he opened his book, and he saw the torn page. He looked very, very angry. Becky was looking very scared. Everyone was quiet. No one said anything. Then Mr. Dobbins spoke. "I can always find you. You know I can. So did you tear this book, Benjamin Rogers?" "No, I didn't." "Joseph Harper, did you?" Another no. Then another no, and another. Mr. Dobbins started asking the girls. First he asked Amy Lawrence. Then he asked Gracie Miller and Susan Harper. The next girl was Becky Thatcher. Tom looked at Becky. She looked very scared. Mr. Dobbins looked at Becky. "Rebecca Thatcher, did you tear this book?" Suddenly, Tom jumped up. "I tore it, Mr. Dobbins. I did it." No one could believe it, especially Becky. She looked at Tom lovingly. Tom didn't care about his punishment. He was happy that Becky loved him again. It was nearly time for the summer vacation. Mr. Dobbins was always horrible near vacation time. The end of school meant the school show. Everyone had to learn a poem or part of a story. Every year, at the end of the show, Mr. Dobbins got up to speak. All the people in the town came to watch. Mr. Dobbins wanted everyone to do well. The younger boys always had trouble. The stories and poems were difficult to learn. They made lots of mistakes. Mr. Dobbins made them stay after school. He was horrible to them. So they hated the school show. One day, during recess, the younger boys were talking together. "I hate the school show. Dobby's always horrible to us. I know. I can never remember my poem. He's made me stay after school 3 times this week.
Me too. Last week, I had to stay every day.
He's really horrible, isn't he?
Well, let's do something about it.
But what can we do?
Let's all think about it. Perhaps we'll have an idea.
After school, the boys all met together.
Has anyone got any ideas?
Yes, I have. I've got an idea.
Let's play a trick on him.
Yes, let's play a trick on Dobby. And I know what we'll do. We need some gold paint.
Chapter 5, The Summer Vacation. Mr. Dobbins was bald. He didn't like being bald. He often wore a hat to hide his bald head. Sometimes, when it was hot in school, Mr. Dobbins took his hat off. He looked funny without his hat. The night of the school show came. One by one, Mr. Dobbins' pupils said their poems and stories. Some of the older pupils said things in Latin and Greek. Becky's poem was perfect. Even Tom was surprised at himself. He remembered the whole of his poem. He was very happy. So was Aunt Polly. Then it was time for Mr. Dobbins to speak. Mr. Dobbins stood up and started speaking. It was very boring, but he loved speaking.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed our show. All my pupils worked very hard.
Some of the townspeople started to go to sleep. Then, high above Mr. Dobbins, Ben Rogers opened a window. Slowly, very, very slowly, Ben put his fishing pole through the window. His fish hook came down. It came down slowly, very, very slowly. Mr. Dobbins was still speaking. And, in the next school year, Ben's fish hook came nearer and nearer. Everyone in the room started whispering. All the people in the room were watching it.
The new geography books have been...
Very, very slowly, Ben's fish hook came nearer and nearer to Mr. Dobbins' hat.
Now, whispered Joe, do it now.
Then, very quickly, Ben caught Mr. Dobbins' hat, and he pulled it off. All the people in the room started laughing. They laughed and laughed. There was Mr. Dobbins' bald head, and on Mr. Dobbins' bald head, there was a ring of gold paint. His head had a ring of gold.
Tom was bored. The summer vacation was long. Becky was away in Constantinople with Judge Thatcher. There was nothing to do. There were some birthday parties, but not very many. The circus came to town. Then it went away the next day. The boys played circus for a while. Then they were all bored. Tom decided to write a diary. He decided to write about his vacation. He decided to write about all his adventures. Nothing happened for 3 days. There was nothing to write. So Tom stopped. He was bored. Then Tom was sick. Tom was very sick. He went to bed. He was hot, and then he was cold. He couldn't see anyone. He couldn't hear anyone. Aunt Polly was worried. Cousin Mary was worried. Even Sid was worried. Tom's friends came to see him. They were all worried, too.
"Is Tom going to die?" said Joe.
"I don't know, Joe," said Aunt Polly. "I don't know."
"Please don't die, Tom," said Huck. "You're my best friend in the world."
Joe, Ben, and all Tom's friends prayed for him.
"We'll never be bad again.
Please live, Tom," they all said. Even Huck prayed for Tom. Huck didn't really know how to pray, but even Huck prayed. He prayed for Tom to get well. Ben, Joe, and Huck waited for news. They went to see Aunt Polly every day.
but they couldn't see Tom.
When can we see Tom? Said Joe.
I don't know, said Aunt Polly. He's still very sick.
Yes, Tom was very sick. For 2 weeks, the doctor came every day. He looked worried. Then one day, Tom slowly opened his eyes.
Why are you here? He said.
Hello, Tom. You're sick. But I think you're going to get better now, said the doctor.
Aunt Polly was delighted.
So are all Tom's friends. Ben, Joe, and Huck visited Tom. They brought him some apples and grapes. They were all really happy.
We all prayed for you, said Joe.
Even Huck prayed for you.
Huck prayed?
Tom was very surprised. Finally, after 3 weeks in bed, Tom was able to go outside. He didn't feel very strong, and he felt tired.
Don't go swimming, said Aunt Polly. I don't want you to be sick again.
Tom agreed. He didn't want to be sick again either. He went to find his friends. He found Joe and Huck. They were fishing.
Hey, Tom, you're here, said Huck.
Hooray! Come on, let's go swimming, said Joe.
I can't. I don't want to get sick again.
Then go and get your fishing pole, said Huck.
This is a really good place. We've caught 3 fish already.
Tom was really happy. It was good to be with his friends again.
It was nearly time for Muff Potter's day in the courtroom. All the townspeople were talking about it.
Tom didn't like listening to them. He couldn't sleep. He thought about Injun Joe. He was worried and scared.
I hope Huck hasn't told anyone about that night, he thought. I'll ask him. Then I'll feel better.
Tom and Huck went to a quiet place together. Have you told anyone about that? Said Tom.
About what?
You know what?
Oh, that.
No, of course I haven't. I haven't said anything. Not one word.
Why are you asking, Tom?
Because I'm scared, Huck. I'm scared of Injun Joe.
I know. Injun Joe will kill us if he finds out. If we say anything, we'll die.
I'll never tell anyone, Tom.
Don't worry. Come on, let's make our promise again. Then we'll both feel better.
And the boys made their promise again.
I'm sorry about Muff Potter, said Tom. All the townspeople are talking about him. They hate him. They say he's a murderer.
But he isn't. And he isn't a bad man.
Yes, I know. I feel bad, too. He's done a lot for us. He's shown me some of the best places to fish. He's given me apples sometimes.
I like him, but what can we do, Tom? We can't help him to escape. The people in the town will kill him if they find him. What can we do?
I don't know. But let's go to the jail. Let's take him some food or something. We'll feel better and he'll feel better.
Tom and Huck went to the jail. Muff looked miserable and scared. When he saw the boys, he smiled.
Thank you, boys. You've been very kind to me. Kinder than anyone. I've helped a lot of the people in the town, but no one comes to see me. You're really good boys. Thank you.
Tom went home miserable. He felt really bad about Muff Potter. That night, he had horrible dreams.
Chapter 6. Saving Muff Potter. The next day, Tom went to find Huck.
Let's go to the courtroom. Maybe we'll hear some news.
Yes, but I don't want to go inside, said Huck. I'm scared of Injun Joe.
The boys waited outside the courtroom. People went in and came out.
What's happening? The boys asked.
The news was never very good. Muff's lawyer wasn't doing a good job. He wasn't asking the right questions.
I'm worried, said Tom. I'm worried about Muff Potter.
I'm worried too, said Huck.
The next day, the boys did the same thing. They waited outside the courtroom. Now, even some of the townspeople were talking about Muff's lawyer. Every time someone told their story, Muff's lawyer said,
I have no questions to ask.
Nobody thought the lawyer was doing a good job. Injun Joe told his story. Everyone believed him. Again, Muff's lawyer said,
I have no questions to ask him.
Muff Potter was in trouble. He looked miserable. Tom knew what he had to do. That evening, he went to talk to Muff's lawyer. I think I can help you. I think I can help Muff, said Tom. He told the lawyer everything, all about the graveyard and Injun Joe, all about the doctor. But please don't say anything about Huck. I promised.
You'll have to be strong, said the lawyer.
The next morning, Muff's lawyer stood up. He looked at the judge. He looked at all the people in the courtroom. He turned to the courtroom officer.
Call Thomas Sawyer, he said loudly.
Everyone looked very surprised. The courtroom officer went outside. He called Tom. Tom's face went white. He slowly went inside. Tom stood in front of the judge. He stood in front of all the townspeople. He was very scared. Then the lawyer spoke.
Thomas Sawyer, where were you hiding on the night of the murder?
Tom was very scared. He tried to speak, but no words came out. He looked around the courtroom. He looked at Injun Joe. Then, very quietly, he said, In the graveyard.
Speak a little louder, said the lawyer. Don't be scared. You were...
In the graveyard. All the people in the courtroom were whispering. Tom Sawyer was there. He saw what happened. And Tom told the whole story. He told everyone about the shoe, but he didn't tell them about Huck. Then he told them about the knife, and he told them about Injun Joe. Injun Joe looked at Tom. His face was hard and scary. Suddenly, Injun Joe jumped up.
I'm not listening to any more of this. I'll have you, Tom Sawyer. I'll have you.
He pushed the people out of his way. He ran to the window. He broke the window and jumped out. Injun Joe escaped. Tom was a hero again. His story was in the newspaper. All his friends wanted to hear about it. They listened again and again. All the townspeople were sorry about Muff Potter. They were all very kind to him. They said they were sorry. Muff was happy again. He wasn't a prisoner anymore. He was free. The sheriff and his men looked for Injun Joe. The sheriff offered money for information. No one knew anything. No one could find Injun Joe. Tom and Huck were still scared. They both had bad dreams. I'll only be happy when Injun Joe is dead, thought Tom. There are some things which a boy has to do in his life. One of these things is looking for treasure. This day now came to Tom. He went to find Huck.
It's time to find some treasure, said Tom.
Where can we find the treasure, Tom? Said Huck. Where do people put it?
You can find treasure everywhere.
On islands. Buried under a dead tree. In an old box in a hole. Sometimes people bury it with a map. But most of the time, it's in old houses. Houses with ghosts in them.
And who does the treasure belong to?
Oh, don't be stupid. It doesn't belong to our Sunday school teacher, does it? It belongs to robbers, of course. Robbers hide it. They hide it, and then they forget about it, or they die. Then one day, someone finds an old piece of paper. It's old and yellow. There's a secret message on the piece of paper. And there's a map on the piece of paper. You follow the map, and you find the treasure.
Where do you want to start then, Tom?
Well, there are lots of dead trees around here. Why don't we start with a dead tree?
Yes, said Huck. Let's try the dead tree by Stillhouse.
Tom and Huck went to Stillhouse. They began to dig under the dead tree.
What are you going to do with your treasure, Huck?
I'm going to spend it. I'm going to spend it on good things to eat and drink. I'm going to go to every circus that comes to town. I'm going to have a wonderful time.
What about you, Tom?
Well, I'm going to save some of my money. I'm going to buy a new knife. I'm going to buy a cow. And I'm going to get married.
Get married, said Huck.
That's stupid. You sound like an old man.
The boys worked for about an hour. They didn't find anything.
There's nothing here, said Tom.
Perhaps we're looking in the wrong place.
Huck agreed.
Why don't we go to Cardiff Hill? There are lots of dead trees there.
They went over to Cardiff Hill. They tried there, but they didn't find anything.
The boys went from dead tree to dead tree. After all their digging, they were very tired.
Let's stop for the day. We can try the old house tomorrow, the one with the ghost, said Tom.
The next day, the boys went to the old ghost house. The windows were all broken. It was old and dirty.
It smelled old, too.
Tom and Huck quietly went inside. They opened an old cupboard, but there was nothing inside. They looked in the rooms downstairs. They looked under the floor. Then they went upstairs.
Shh, said Tom.
What is it? Whispered Huck.
Shh, it's voices.
Can you hear them?
Someone's outside.
The boys were very quiet. They looked through a broken window. They could see two men. One of the men looked hard and angry. The other man was digging. Then the man who was digging said,
Hey, there's something here. I can feel it. It's an old box.
Both Tom and Huck knew the man's voice. It was Injun Joe.
Chapter 7. Becky's Picnic. Tom and Huck were really scared. Injun Joe was right outside. The boys watched and listened. The two men pulled the box out of the hole. Injun Joe opened the box.
It's gold. There's gold in there. Lots and lots of gold, he said.
The two men came inside with the box.
Now the boys were prisoners. There was no way out.
Tom and Huck looked through a hole in the floor. They could see the two men. The men were looking at the gold.
Then Injun Joe said, We need to bury it. Let's go back to number two. I don't think number one is safe now.
The other man agreed. Then they both left the old house. The two boys waited until it was safe. Then they left the house too.
All that gold, said Huck. It was nearly ours. Now Injun Joe's got it.
Yes, I know. I've never seen so much money.
But where is he going to bury it? And where is number two?
We need to find out, Huck. We need to find out. That night, Tom dreamt about gold. He dreamt about digging for treasure. But in the morning, he wasn't sure.
Did I dream about Injun Joe and the gold? Or was it real? He asked himself.
I need to find Huck. Huck can tell me.
Huck was by the river. He was fishing.
No, it wasn't a dream. It was real, said Huck. All that gold was real.
But where are they staying? Said Tom.
We need to find out. Then we can follow them. We can find the treasure.
I think Injun Joe's friend looks like that Spanish man. He's staying in a house near Cardiff Hill. Perhaps he's staying in a house with a number two.
The boys went up to Cardiff Hill. They secretly went to the place where the Spanish man was staying. On the door, there was a number 2. They made a plan. They decided to watch the house. Becky Thatcher was back from her summer vacation. Tom was very pleased. He forgot about Injun Joe and the treasure. At the moment, Becky was more important. Becky and Tom spent most of the day together. "Tonight, I'm going to ask my mother about my picnic," said Becky. "She talked about it weeks ago. I hope she remembers. I hope she'll say yes." "That's a great idea," said Tom. "I hope she says yes, too." Becky asked and asked. In the end, Mrs. Thatcher agreed. "Yes, but stay with Susan Harper. It's a long way home from the river." "And the picnic will finish late tomorrow. You mustn't walk home in the dark." Becky told all her friends, "We can take the ferry boat to the forest. We can make a camp. Then we can play in McDougal's cave," said Becky. McDougal's cave was a favorite place. It was big and dark. There were lots of corridors. Everyone in the town knew some of the cave, but no one alive knew all of the cave. The next day, the ferry boat took everyone down the river. In the forest, everyone climbed trees and laughed and played. When they were all hot and tired, they all went back to the camp. They ate and ate until they were full of good food. After lunch, they rested under the trees and chatted. Then someone said, "Come on, get the candles. Who's ready for the caves?" They all went up to McDougal's cave. They went in pairs and groups. Tom and Becky went together. Everyone went down different dark corridors. They jumped out at each other. They tried to surprise each other. They tried to scare each other. It was great fun. Then, one by one, everyone went back to the entrance. Hot and dirty, but smiling and happy. It was beginning to get dark. They all went back to the ferry boat. Nobody saw, but 2 people were missing. Tom and Becky. Tom and Becky were lost in the cave. That night, Huck watched number 2. Injun Joe and the Spanish man came out. Huck followed them. He followed them to the river. He followed them to Mrs. Douglas's house. There was a light in the window. There were people inside the house. "I'm going to hurt Mrs. Douglas," said Injun Joe. "I'm going to cut off her ear." "Why, Joe? What did she do?" said the Spanish man. "She didn't do anything, but her husband did. Her husband was a judge. He's dead now, but I don't care. He sent me to jail. I hated him. I want to hurt her. Let's wait for her visitors to go. Then I'll try." Huck was very scared. He ran as fast as he could. He ran to Mr. Jones's house. "Mr. Jones, Mr. Jones, don't say I told you, don't say I told you, but it's Injun Joe. I heard him talking. He wants to hurt Mrs. Douglas. He wants to cut off her ear." Huck told Mr. Jones everything. Mr. Jones called his sons. They went to Mrs. Douglas's house. They waited behind some trees. Huck didn't want to go too near. He was scared. He waited and he listened. Then he heard the sound of a gun. He ran and ran back to town. The next morning, Huck went back to Mr. Jones's house. "Hello, Mr. Jones, are you there? Are you all right?" Mr. Jones opened the door. "Welcome, Huck. Welcome. Yes, we're all fine. We didn't get Injun Joe. I'm sorry about that. But Mrs. Douglas is safe. That's thanks to you, Huck. The sheriff and his men are looking for Injun Joe. I hope they find him. Now, come and have some breakfast. You're a hero, Huck.
I want everyone to know.
No, please don't tell anyone. Injun Joe will kill me. Please, Mr. Jones.
All right, Huck. I'll keep quiet.
There wasn't any Sunday school during the vacation, but everyone was in church early. Everyone was talking about Injun Joe and Mrs. Douglas. Mr. Jones was a hero. His sons were heroes, too. Mrs. Harper came into church. Susan was with her. Mrs. Thatcher went to talk to her. "Is Becky still asleep at your house?" she asked.
"You're Becky? I don't understand. She didn't stay with me last night," said Mrs. Harper.
Mrs. Thatcher's face went white. Then Aunt Polly came into church.
"Has anyone seen my Tom? He didn't come home last night. Did he stay with any of you last night?"
One by one, everyone said no. Then Ben Rogers quietly said, "Perhaps they're still in the cave." Mrs. Thatcher and Aunt Polly started crying. All the women in the church came to look after them. All the men went to the ferry boat. They went to McDougal's cave. The men searched all day and late into the night. They couldn't find Tom and Becky. They searched the next day, then the next day, and the next. In the end, everyone decided Tom and Becky were dead.
Chapter 8. McDougal's Cave. In the cave, Tom and Becky didn't know what to do. They were lost. They were prisoners in there. They didn't know how to get out. They were cold and tired, and they needed to sleep. When they woke up, Tom looked and looked for a way out. He was very clever. He used his piece of teacher's chalk. He used it to find his way back to Becky. But Tom couldn't find a way out of the cave.
"Is it day or night?" said Becky. "How long have we been here? It feels like days."
"I don't know," said Tom. "I think we've been here for a long time. Our candle's nearly finished."
Becky began to cry.
"Oh, Tom, I'm tired and hungry. I don't want to die in here."
"Don't worry, Becky. I'll find a way out."
Tom went down one corridor and then another. Suddenly he heard a noise. Was someone there? He went towards the noise and he saw a light from a candle. Then at the end of the corridor, in the light of the candle, he saw Injun Joe. Injun Joe was here, in the cave, looking at his gold.
"They're here! We've found them! They're safe! They're here!" shouted Mr. Jones. "Find Judge Thatcher and the others. Tell them Tom and Becky are here. Everyone can stop looking for them now."
Lights went on all over town.
People came out of their houses in their nightclothes. Tom and Becky were coming down the street with some workmen. Home at last. Tom lay on the sofa. Everyone wanted to listen to his story, and he was delighted to tell it.
"We tried and tried to find a way out, but it was impossible. We were very hungry and very tired. Finally, I saw a small light. There was a hole. It was a way out. We were really happy. It was difficult to get through the hole, but we did it. Then we saw some workmen. We told them our story and asked for their help. They gave us some food, and they told us to rest. Then they brought us here."
After their adventure in the cave, Tom and Becky were sick in bed. Tom was sick for 3 days. Becky was in bed for a week. When Tom felt a little better, he went to see Huck. Huck told Tom all about Mrs. Douglas, Injun Joe, and the Spanish man. "The Spanish man is dead. They found his body in the river. He was trying to hide or to escape from the sheriff," said Huck. Huck was pleased to hear all about Tom's adventures, too. Tom told him all about Injun Joe and the treasure.
"The gold's in the cave, Huck. I know where it is.
When I'm feeling stronger, we can go and get it.
A few days later, Tom went to see Becky. He met Judge Thatcher outside the house.
"Hello, Tom," said the judge. "Thank you again for saving Becky. You're a good and honest boy, and you were very clever to find a way out of the cave. But now the cave is safe. There won't be any more cave adventures for you or for anyone."
"Why?" said Tom.
"Well, the day after you two came home, I closed the cave with a big heavy metal door. So, I'm happy to say, no one can get in or out of there now."
Tom's face went white.
"But Judge Thatcher, Injun Joe was in the cave. I saw him there."
The judge's face went white too.
He quickly called some of the other men. They ran off to the cave. They pulled and pulled at the heavy metal door. Finally, they opened the cave. There was Injun Joe. He was dead. After Injun Joe's death, Mr. Jones spoke to Mrs. Douglas. "It was Huck who saved you, not me. He was scared of Injun Joe, so I promised not to tell anyone. Now, you need to know."
"He's a hero," said Mrs. Douglas. "But poor Huck. He has a hard life. He needs love, and he needs a good home. Perhaps he'd like to come and live with me."
Mrs. Douglas told everyone that Huck was a hero. Huck went to live with her, but he didn't like it much. He had to wear nice clothes, and he had to go to church. He liked his old clothes, and he liked to be free. After 3 days, he ran away. Tom went to find him.
"If you stay with Mrs. Douglas, you can be in my gang," said Tom.
"Go on. Stay with her."
In the end, Huck agreed.
"It'll be good to be part of a gang, especially your gang, Tom."
Together, the boys made a plan to get the gold.
"I made some lines with chalk in the cave," said Tom. "We'll follow them from the hole. The hole that Becky and I found. The chalk will show us where the gold is.
It'll show us how to get out, too."
The next day, the two boys climbed through the hole. They found Tom's line of chalk. They carefully followed it down one of the dark corridors. Then they turned down another corridor. More chalk. Another corridor. And another one. At last, there, at the end of one of the corridors, they found a large box.
"This is it," said Tom. "This is the gold."
They slowly opened the box.
Treasure! The box was full. It was full of gold. They were rich.
Now, Tom was rich. He loved Becky, and Becky loved him. And they loved each other even more after their time in the cave. But, dear reader, here I must end my story. I am sorry, but my story is the story of a boy. It is the story of Tom Sawyer. If I do not end Tom's story here, it will become the story of a man.